Psalm 5 is a morning prayer. And the first morning prayer that you find in the Psalms is found in Psalm 3. Psalm 3 and Psalm 5 are model true prayers. I want you to know just the following about Psalm 5, which is, I believe, very important. David's prayers were regular. But they were also organized, and they were confident prayers. And confidence is something that's often lacking in our prayers today. But also you'll notice as he prays in this Psalm 5, he prays with deep concern and a deep desire to be heard. And we see that in verse 1, that there's this deep desire to be heard. Give me ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. And you notice his heart was in it. Give heed to my voice. Give heed to the voice of my cry. My King and my God, for to you I will pray. Now, you might ask the question, what caused David to write this psalm? It may have been a prayer for help while he was in Saul's court. And others were accusing him of planning to undermine Saul's sovereignty. And clearly he was not. He was God's man there in the court. And yet there were these accusations against him. And so he may well have written this psalm at that time when he was a very young man. And as you read this psalm, you can see that David had prepared his case before he prayed. He didn't come in a sloppy sort of way. Just as one should prepare oneself before coming into court or into the king's presence. If you're coming to see someone very important, you're going to an interview, say, you prepare what you're going to say. The one time I really had to prepare very carefully for a prayer was early this year. It was June the 12th, and my friends Martin and Sarah White had asked me to pray at the funeral of their six-week-old baby. And that was the most difficult prayer I've ever had to pray. And it took, you know, the few minutes of prayer were built up after a couple of weeks of preparation. And so I definitely prepared for that prayer. And I was rather taken aback afterwards how many people came up and said they'd never heard a prayer like that before. And it was no praise to me because virtually the whole prayer came out of God's word. And when we pray God's word, then it's honouring to God. But that was an example of extreme preparation. You don't often have 2 weeks to prepare for a prayer. But I did on that occasion, and I have to be very thankful to God for helping me at that time. I think you'll find it on the website, but it's not here or there. But what I want to do is to look at the main structure of this prayer. I want you to notice, first of all, that David considered who it was he was praying to. David considered who it was he was praying to. In using the title, My King, David was acknowledging that all creation is subject to God. Indeed, God is not a figure who rules as a despot, and he has power because he has power. God rules because he is the creator. He has the right. It is what he has made. He has the right to rule, and he is the king. In this prayer, David uses the title Yahweh, which is translated in this version and many other versions as Lord. This was the divine name that children of Israel could use. And in using the word Yahweh and the title King, we can see that David had prepared before him, prepared beforehand, because he was bringing a God-centered prayer. prayer. And notice this wasn't a... Forgive me. This was not a we prayer. We have a tendency in our prayers to say, we thank you, we come to you, we do this, we praise you in our prayers, and we so often put we, me, at the beginning. Now, although he does use I here and there, the fact is, the prayer is all directed towards God. So this is a God-centered prayer. He did not put himself in the center. So the first thing I want you to notice is, he was praying to God, and he considered God. He announces him king, he announces him as Yahweh, as Lord, and everything that he says is carefully prepared as though he is coming to the sovereign, as indeed he was. But I want you to notice something else about this prayer, secondly, is that intercession in this prayer is secondary, which seems quite a surprise. You think, I come to the Lord and I intercede for various things, but it's not until we get to verse 8, which is well on into the psalm, that we come to the main request. Up until then, it is praising God's name. But then in verse 8, we get to these words. Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness because of my enemies. Make your way straight before my face. He asked that God would lead him, not just for his own good. This is not for his own good. This is lead him so that if there was no basis for his enemies to find any accusation. His big desire is that he would remain and maintain a good testimony. He needed to be led in the right way. So he wasn't someone who was saying, I don't want to lose face, Lord. I do not want to let you down, Lord. Please lead me. David wanted to be led by God so his enemies would not find any basis for accusing him. The enemy's big weapons were words, of course. The enemy of David was accusing him of deceitfulness. And for this reason, David called for God's leading. He prayed for God's spiritual protection under the name of the Lord, under the name of Yahweh. This is an interesting idea, actually. The very name of the Lord gives protection. Interesting. God's very name gives authority over every enemy. Like you see in the old films of historical events, and the army comes and says, I come in the name of the king. That means authority. You've got to open the door. I come in the same way. The very name of God gives authority that the enemy must bow before him. Notice also that David prayed for protection. Not for himself, but prayed for protection so that God's name would be vindicated. If David were to fall spiritually, he would bring dishonor on God's name. So, although there's all this idea of somehow you think it's all about David protecting himself and wanting to bring the enemies down, the fact is, it was God's honor that was at stake here. And so, David's requests are all God-centered. A second theme in this intercession is the call for judgment on his enemies. We find this difficult, don't we? This is the sort of thing we don't often pray for. But it is a call for justice. David himself could not bring about justice. Only God could. Remember that verse in Deuteronomy 32 and verse 35. Vengeance is mine and recompense. Their foot shall slip in due time, for the day of their calamity is at hand, and the things to come hasten upon them. So what will hasten upon them? It will judgment. And that vengeance will come from God. And so what happens here is that David prayed that his enemies would be exposed, that they would be brought down, that they would be expelled and removed from God's presence. And why should they be exposed? Why should they be brought down and expelled? It was to protect the honourable name of God Himself. It is for the honour of God's name that David asked to be heard. It's for the honour of God's name that he asked to be protected and led. Now, some find it difficult to understand David's request for blessing, but he was not calling for more earthly blessing. David knew that the blessing he craved for would be received in glory. He knew he was going to be blessed. In asking for blessing, he was calling on God to keep him in line with that blessing. Does that make sense? Perhaps you haven't. If you ask for blessing, you're asking God, I know you're going to bless me, Lord. I know I've got the reward. It's almost as if the reward is there in front of me. Please keep me faithful, Lord, so that I will realize that blessing at the end of the day. Do not allow me to slip. Okay, so I'm not asking for blessing now. I'm not asking for £1 million now, Lord. I'm asking, Lord, that you would keep me. So that day of blessing you promised, I will be there. I'll be kept for that. And this is what we should be praying for on behalf of our brothers and sisters who are facing such violent opposition in Muslim countries. To pray for earthly protection and blessing is to be praying for the wrong thing completely. Yes, we want them to be protected. We would love the opposition to come to an end. We would love our brothers and sisters to be brought to safety. But principally, we want them to be kept for the day of blessing. It sounds awful to you, for me to say this, but it's far better that a brother should be beheaded than convert to the satanic religion of Islam. Dreadful though it may seem, far better for a sister to be raped and then stoned as an adulteress than for her to convert to Islam. Because we pray that you would keep her, Lord, for the day of blessing. Yes, so we pray for their protection. We pray for their protection because we want God's name to be honoured. And so, if they are to be protected and they maintain their Christian witness, wonderful. We want them to be kept safe. But in order that they would honour God and be finally blessed by God. And so our prayers are quite complicated in this way. We do want our brothers and sisters to be saved and kept safe, yet we do want them to receive the blessing. So we've got this strange idea that's pulling us back and forwards here. And this is this tug of war in our minds, Lord, goes on in our prayers. And it goes on in David's prayer here. He wants God to bless him by keeping him faithful. We should be praying that God would keep his children faithful, even unto death. Because only the faithful will receive and experience true blessing. But thirdly, I want you to notice there is an encouragement in this prayer. A tremendous encouragement. This prayer will be answered. Because it's a God-honouring prayer, it will be answered. There is a positive theme running right through this psalm. God will bless his people. God will punish his enemies. God's name will be vindicated. It might be, it will happen. All the proud and the arrogant will be brought down. All who reject God's word and refuse to bow before him will be cast out into hell. That will happen. All who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. And we see that in the New Testament. So, what David has prayed for is realized in the New Testament. And those who come to the cross and shed their load at the cross and put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, they will be saved. All who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Indeed, we can say, must be saved. And so that is the positive side of this psalm. So, it's a call for God's honour God's honour. It's a call that God would keep us. But it's also a sign of encouragement, knowing that God will bless us. So just to finish off with that, I just want to say these two things to you. Please consider how you approach God in prayer. Do you prepare to come into His presence as you would if you were coming into the Queen's presence? And she is just a mere mortal. So consider how you approach God in prayer. And secondly, consider what you should ask of God. You might say, I should be asking God to heal my sore leg. Well, no. Please, God, bless me. And when I ask that prayer, I'm asking God that He will keep me so that I will realize that blessing. And that should be a prayer for each one of you. I pray that God will truly bless you, that He will keep you, and that He will keep you trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ as your only Savior, your only Lord. He is the only way. So consider carefully what you should ask of Him. Praise be His name.